The Guardian.
You're more than your day job. You know that. If you're interested in starting your own side gig, then check out the Side Hustle series from Guardian Labs and theguardian.com/sidehustle. Helpful videos, articles, and a podcast, all brought to you by Squarespace. When you're ready to build your website for your side hustle, head to squarespace.com. Their sites look professionally designed, regardless of skill level, no coding required. You build your website with these intuitive, easy-to-use tools. And you get a free domain name if you sign up for a year. So start your free trial site today. Go to squarespace.com. Squarespace. Build it beautiful.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Let's start again.
Hello, and welcome to today's edition of The Dailies, the podcast on The Guardian film team. My name is Benjamin Lee, and it's Thursday the 7th of January. Joining me today to talk about the latest film news is Catherine Short. Catherine, what is your favourite Adam Sandler film?
Well, that's difficult, isn't it? Because, I mean, the cineast in me would say Punch Drunk Love. And I would have said that myself, not just the cineast in me, a few months ago. But then I rewatched it and I thought it was a bit awful, actually, and not as good as I thought. So I would now go Funny People, even though it's very indulgent.
Oof. It's quite difficult to pick one, isn't it?
I'm sorry for that question. That's all right.
Punch Drunk Love, because I'm being a snob. But
yeah, if you rewatch it, you'll see what I mean. You'll learn.
Thanks. Speaking of Adam Sandler, his latest comedy western, The Ridiculous Six, has broken a record on Netflix where it premiered last month. The film, which is the first Sandler is making with a streaming platform, is in a new deal. It's been watched more times than any other film in its first 30 days on the service. It also became the number one movie in every territory it's released in. Netflix CEO Ted Sarandos said, "Adam believes his audience is mostly at home, and he's probably right."
Sounds like a slight put down,
but it's probably true. It's a much-needed success for Adam Sandler, whose box office appeal has been on the wane in recent years with Blended, and That's My Boy both failing to take off. Despite being a hit with Netflix audiences, like The Ridiculous Six has managed a 0% rating on Rotten Tomatoes, which is quite impressive. Sandler's got three more films coming out on Netflix, including a film called The Do-Over, about two guys faking their own deaths. He claims to have signed the deal with Netflix because it rhymes with wet chicks. That's actually true, which is funny, isn't it? Catherine, so TV was kind of seen as the place for stars to go when their box office appeal wasn't no longer a thing. But this could be a sort of new middle ground, I guess, making films still, but not having to worry about box office.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's probably done exactly the right thing, hasn't he? Both for him and for Netflix. And I mean, do you remember that? I remember a year or so ago, a bit more than that, there was a kind of, we had a profile of Adam Sandler because he was meant to be going serious again and doing his Punch Drunk Love thing because he was in The Cobbler, which was Tom McCarthy's worst film. And he was in Men, Women and Children, which is probably Reitman's worst film as well.
But I love how The Cobbler is Adam Sandler going serious, but a man with magic shoes.
Yeah, yeah, but did you see Men, Women and Children?
No.
Okay, so that was worse for Sandler. I think he's done exactly the right thing, no?
Yeah, no, I think he's got a different. Yeah. I mean, I guess he's kind of betting on his audience not really wanting to go and pay to see him because maybe his audience is getting older now. The kids don't really find him funny much as they used to.
I think Sandler is a classic, you know, it's on telly talent, isn't he? I mean, you just sort of vaguely watch That's My Boy if it was sort of vaguely on and the remote was broken. You know, it's that sort of thing. Netflix is sort of a version of that, isn't it?
But who do you think could benefit from a similar sort of deal? Who do you think has enough appeal still, but not enough to really sell a movie?
Maybe somebody like Jim Carrey. You know, if you're kind of, you know, things like Liar Liar were so big in their day, but I suppose he's quite different now, isn't he?
What's he been doing lately?
I don't know. He makes sort of, well, he made I Love You, Philip Morris, but even that was a few years ago, wasn't it? Mm. God knows what he's doing now. He's got a big beard, hasn't he?
Yeah, and he's anti-vaccine still, isn't he?
He's anti-vaccines.
Yeah, him and Jenny McCarthy are anti-vaccine. His ex.
What?
They think vaccines lead to autism. This is really off topic, but it's a thing.
Yeah, oh, right, okay. Oh, that's right, okay, well, that's what he's doing then.
Okay, speaking of anti-vaccines, no, I'm not going to. Tomorrow morning sees the announcement of this year's BAFTA nominations. coming just before this Sunday's Golden Globes and next week's Oscar nominations. In recent years, the BAFTAs have increased in stature with a more impressive list of attendees and awards that more closely mirror the Oscars. But the downside is that the nominees have often failed to include a wealth of British talent, such as Mr. Turner last year. This year's major British contenders include Charlotte Rampling for 45 Years, Eddie Redmayne for The Danish Girl, Kate Winslet for Steve Jobs, Emily Blunt for Sicario, Mark Rylance for Bridge of Spies, and Maggie Smith for Lady in the Van. Catherine, what are you hoping to see and what are you expecting to see in tomorrow's nominations?
Oh, blimey. Well, I should think they'll be relatively predictable. But predict them then. Oh, yeah. I mean, I suppose, you know, the thing is that when you start doing these predictions, you realise what a weak year it is, because we've had this sort of glorious month of kind of quite good films like Revenant and Joy and Room and all that sort of thing, which is all coming up, and they are, of course, all eligible for BAFTAs. However, generally speaking, it's been shaky, because I mean, you sort of think, well, Eddie Redmayne should get one because he's quite good in it, even though it's an awful film. But you know, a few months ago you sort of thought, well, he's out of the running, surely there won't be, you know, space for him because it's August or September or something and that's a crap film. But then, you know, it's sort of all, it's the same old, isn't it? It's depressing.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to a lot of the films that are going to be covered. I mean, I think something like Brooklyn's going to get quite a few nominations because it kind of seems to cross both borders.
And Ex Machina.
Ex Machina probably will too.
Yeah, there's been a lot of really mediocre British films that have been overrated, however, not just by British critics, but by American ones too, which is odd. I don't know why people don't understand that 45 Years and The Lobster, for instance, are very good, and Brooklyn and Ex Machina are very mediocre. Why is that?
But I think 45 Years and the Lobster are both uncomfortable films, because especially about relationships, I think often kind of turn off voters, whereas Brooklyn leaves people with a very happy, rosy feeling.
Yeah, but it shouldn't though. I mean, spoiler, but you know, Brooklyn, in fact, her behaviour is quite crappy. Yeah. You know, she's really morally suspect. I don't know why people are overlooking that. I mean, I got very uncomfortable in Brooklyn, not only through boredom.
I do think if it was a male character doing that to women, I don't think it would be seen in the same way. I think she kind of gets away with being a bit of a hussy.
A hussy. Yeah, and what about in Ex Machina? I mean, that made me uncomfortable in that same sort of gender politics, relationship politics way, because I think the message of that is, if you're a nerdy tech guy and a hot girl comes onto you, don't trust her.
Yeah.
Then she'll kill you. You know, and I think both those films, I mean, they left me much more uncomfortable than The Lobster, which felt really quite accurate.
Yeah, exactly. That's how relationships work these days. This week's big movie is The Hateful Eight, latest film from Quentin Tarantino. It's an Agatha Christie-esque tale of strangers forced to survive a night while being killed off in variously gruesome ways. It's received some rave reviews, including from our very own Peter Bradshaw, who gave it 5 stars, but it's generally been seen as slightly subpar Tarantino, with its rating the lowest since Death Proof on Rotten Tomatoes. It's also not had the awards traction that his last two films have had, missing out on some major nominations. Catherine, do you think we're kind of a turning point in his career where he's kind of in danger of becoming a parody of himself?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I mean, I think the problem for me is that Tarantino's persona is so sort of strong and so to my feelings annoying. I just find him very, very irritating now, and I find it sort of hard to untangle that from my feelings about what I don't like about his films now. The Hateful Eight is so indulgent, it's so vacuous, it's so pleased with itself, it's so kind of mindlessly shit-stirring, and it's so kind of gleeful, like a kind of child would make. But I don't know to what extent that's just my irritation with the man who's made it.
But there was that really good piece this week that went on the site. There was a blog about whether he should stop making films as a movie nerd and start making them as a filmmaker again. That's one of the problems with the film. I think that he's putting himself as a film fan and a film nerd above being a good storyteller.
I think he's also putting himself as a provocateur. I think he's putting that first and foremost, actually. And also as a sort of, I don't know, there's something so kind of, so gleeful and adolescent about it. I think that's his main intention, is to sort of stir up trouble.
But he's not saying anything, though, is he?
He's not saying anything. That's the thing. Yeah.
He's not saying, apart from these are some films that I've seen.
Yeah, and also, you know, people are racist sometimes and people are misogynist sometimes, you know. It's like, yeah, that's a good point, mate. Thanks.
Don't forget to check out theguardian.com/film today for all the latest film news and features, and follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook. Today you can watch this week's film show and find out how to survive a grueling movie shoot. See you tomorrow, and I'm going to leave you with a quote from Adam Sandler. I think the reason I don't read is because when I'm reading, I feel like I'm missing out on something else. You know, what are my friends doing? Where's my girlfriend? Bye.
For more great downloads, go to theguardian.com/audio.